Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 this morning. We are in a study working our way through the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. And if you don't have your Bible with you this morning, hopefully there's one in the back of the seat right in front of you. There should be a copy of a black New Testament. You can pick that up and you can follow along with us there. The book of Matthew, that's the name across the top, all right? Matthew. And then the big number 21, Matthew chapter 21. And then we're going to go to verse number 12, Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. This is the final week of Jesus' life. From this chapter on forward is the last week of the Lord Jesus' life. Matthew records for us in these 8 chapters or so the ending of the Lord Jesus' not just the ending of his ministry, but the ending also of his life. And the ending of his life is what gives us life. It's the ending of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the laying down of his own life that is the offer, the promise extended to you and to me that we might know life. Because he does what he did in these last 8 chapters, we can live with the assurance that eternity and heaven is our home. Matthew chapter number 21. Have you found your place? All right, Matthew chapter 21. Let's stand together out of respect for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and that bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And notice, he goes into the temple of God, verse number 12. Verse number 13, he calls it my house. And there are those that say Jesus Christ never proclaimed his own deity. He never, in fact, affirmed that he was God. Man, that seems like a pretty clear affirmation to me. The temple of God, my house. Man, if it's the temple of God and the Lord Jesus Christ's house, man, Jesus must be saying he is God. He is God. Remember verse 14, and the blind and the lame, they came to him in the temple. Man, the temple of God. Man, his house. And he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Man, they saw Jesus' power. They heard Jesus' praise, and they were sore displeased. When they saw the power, the authority that he had, they saw and heard the praise that was extended to him, and they were sore displeased with the power he had. They were sore displeased with the praise that was offered to him. Verse number 16, and they said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea. Have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Man, what a thought. Man, perfected praise. Man, not just praise offered, but praise perfected. Man, the right kind of praise. Not just the right kind of praise, but praise in the right way. Not just the right kind of praise or praise in the right way, but praise to the right person. Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. In verse number 17, and he left them and he went out into the city of Bethany and he lodged there. Now, in the morning, he returned into the city and he hungered. How many of you know the feeling of hunger? How many of you are feeling it right now? Okay, just checking. In verse number 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. And he found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Our Heavenly Father, use your word in our lives. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Jesus is making his way toward the crucifixion that will happen in Jerusalem. We know, of course, Jesus has not yet been in Jerusalem in his earthly ministry. So this is his first time there. And on his way, we studied this last week, the very beginning of this chapter, on his way into Jerusalem, Jesus is given this parade of praise. Man, Jesus rides that humble, lowly donkey into the city. The people of the city come out. They throw down the palm leaves and the branches. Man, they sing Hosanna to God in the highest. Jesus is given that praise. He's offered that praise. And yet, at the same time he's offered that praise, it's not what is recorded in verse 16. It's not perfected praise. Man, it's praise that is offered. It's praise that is proclaimed. It's even praise that is professed. But it is not perfected praise. It's not perfect praise from those who are offering. In fact, that's number one. You have a handout so you can follow along with us. That's number one. It's hollow praise. It's hollow praise. Man, the Bible says in verse number 10, and when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Man, all the city moved about. All the city was stirred up. All the city came out to see. Man, all the city, they were inquisitive. They were questioning. That's the end of verse 10. Who is this? Man, what's the big deal about? Who is everyone coming out to sing of? Man, what's the big deal? Who is this person that is entering in? Man, they all came out to see. The whole city was moved. But what's also true is not just that they were inquisitive, but also that there were some there that were insincere. I mean, there were some there that offered praise on this day, but just a few days from now, they will gather together and they will say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. I mean, there are those that are in the crowd on this day, throwing down palm branches, offering praise to, singing praise of, man, but just a few days from this point forward, man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this same crowd that is praising him, this same crowd will be calling for him to be crucified. And there are those that are in that crowd that were insincere. There were those that were in that crowd that were, man, they were insensitive. Man, there's this hollow praise, not perfected praise, but this hollow praise that is offered. And this hollow praise shows us, number two, this hypocritical prayer. Look at verse number 12. So Jesus goes to the temple. Jesus goes to the house of God. He goes to the temple of God. He goes to church and he gets there and he sees those that are, man, they're money changing. They're selling doves. Mark and Luke and their account, man, says they're bringing in things to offer, to sell. They're only there for their own gain. They're only there for their own gain. Man, he brought in the temple and overthrew the money changers in Mark and in Luke's account. Man, he picked up the whips and he drove them out, the Bible says. Isn't that a sermon illustration? Thought about using that this morning, getting out a bullwhip and then like cracking it and seeing how long we sit through the service, right? We decided against that approach to the illustration. Man, Jesus drove them out. And he said, look at verse 13, my house, the temple of God, my house. Man, was Jesus proclaiming his own deity in this verse? The answer is yes. Claiming to be God. Man, the very Son, the only begotten Son of God. My house shall be called the house of prayer. But notice, they had made it a den of thieves. Man, those with the hollow praise, some were inquisitive, most were insincere. Man, those in this offering, this hypocritical prayer, man, they were given over to idolatry. The only thing they were interested in was their own gain. They weren't interested in helping. They weren't interested in caring. They weren't interested in reaching. Man, they were greedy. They were self-made men. Man, they made God's house a den of thieves. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, James says, that we should care for the fatherless and the widows. Man, pure religion and undefiled before God is this, that we would care for those in need. Man, the church is to care for those in need. So Jesus here comes in. Man, he shows their idolatry. He shows their indifferent attitude toward. And the blind, the lame, verse 14, they come into the temple. He healed them. Now, hasn't this been a model in Jesus' ministry? Man, if you're broken, come to Jesus. If you're needy, come to Jesus. If you're in trouble, come to Jesus. If your marriage is in a tough spot, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, if your relationships are fractured, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you need help with what to do at the office, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, you're not for sure how to handle mom and dad, or for sure how to handle your son or your daughter. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the lame, the blind, they come to him. The lame, the blind are healed by him. Man, the lame, the blind, they come to him. But the lame and the blind are also healed by him. Verse 15, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, they see this and they are sore displeased by this. Is there a sadder verse in the Bible? Man, is there a verse that shows the indifference of these religious leaders more than this? People who needed help were getting help. Man, the children who saw the Lord helping, man, they are praising, perfected praise, offering praise. Surely, Hosanna to the Son of David. This is the Son of God. Man, they're offering that praise, and they are sore displeased. Verse 16, hearest thou what these say? Man, do you hear it? Are you going to stop them from saying this thing? And Jesus quotes to them, man, the Psalm chapter 8. He quotes to them, have ye not heard? Have ye not read? Doesn't the Bible say, man, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, man, thou hast perfected praise. Man, except ye become as one of these, ye cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Man, unless you're willing to humble yourself and come to God in that way, you will not get the help you need. Man, the hollow praise, the hypocritical prayer. Number three, this is where we're going to hang out, the hard parable. Man, the hollow praise, the hypocritical prayer, but the hard parable. Jesus comes to a fig tree. The fig tree does not have figs on it. And when he says that's not like Figgy Newtons, okay? If you're thinking Figgy Newtons, you got the wrong idea. Although Figgy Newtons are quite delicious. Man, he comes to this fig tree. No figs on the tree. And Jesus curses the fig tree. Now, if I approached the fig tree and I wanted a fig from it, and I would just say, figs grow, right? Wouldn't you just cause figs to grow? And yet, Jesus doesn't cause figs to grow. Instead of causing figs to grow on the tree, Jesus curses the fig tree. Isn't this interesting? Look at verse 18. Man, in the morning, he returned to the city. He hungered. He saw the fig tree in the way. He came to it. Found nothing thereon, leaves only. And he said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever and presently the fig tree withered. Here's the question. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Now, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Why did he not just cause figs to grow on the fig tree? And here it is. This is the whole main point of the sermon this morning, driving this singular point home. It's not enough to outwardly project loyalty to God. We must inwardly possess love for him. It's not enough to outwardly project loyalty to God. We must inwardly possess a love for him. Man, Jesus is using this illustration of the fig tree. He is using it as an illustration of all that is happening around him. He's using it as an illustration to show this false religion that is abounding all around. Man, it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it is empty. Man, all the ceremonies, all the singing, all the palm trees thrown down, all the praise that's being offered, and yet Jesus is saying, it's good on the outside, but there's no substance on the inside. I mean, it looks good out here, but there's nothing inside of here. Man, Jesus does an inspection on the fig tree. I have an illustration to show this, and it's not a whip, okay? Before I go over here, it's not going to be a whip to drive the money changers out. I have a basket of fruit. Look at that. Isn't that nice? A good basket of fruit. These oranges these oranges are taken right off of the orange tree in my backyard. So they're as good as they get. That's what I can tell you. They're as good as they get. You say, what did you do to the orange tree in your back? I did nothing. I did absolutely. Turn the water on. That's about it. And it grows by itself. Man, there's some nice, juicy oranges. How many of you are like an orange from Pastor's Orange Tree, right? I don't know how many I have, but they'll be right here. You can get some in the end. Man, this orange, it looks good. These oranges, they look good. Man, but there's a difference between an orange that looks good and an orange that actually is good. There's a difference between an orange that is actually an orange, projecting outwardly to be an orange, but also possessing inwardly, man, the orange itself, and an orange that's just projecting. Man, it looks good on the outside. In fact, it's more colors, man, it's brighter orange on the outside. Man, it looks more full on the outside, but if you take a bite into this orange right here, you will be very disappointed. Unless you like to eat plastic. If you like to eat plastic, then you'll enjoy this one right here. But if you don't want to eat plastic, this is the only one that has any substance. And here's what Jesus is doing. He's illustrating, man, this perfected praise, this perfected praise. There are those in the passage who are offering perfected praise. Man, it's not just projecting, professing outwardly, but it is possessing inwardly. Man, it's not just looking good on the outside so everybody thinks they have their act together, but it in fact has the substance on the inside. Man, it is on the inside what it's pretending to be on the outside. And there is those that, man, it's just pretending on the outside, but there's nothing on the inside. It's hollow. I don't know any other way to illustrate this for you. I could cut it open and I could share. It's absolutely hollow on the inside. Man, so three ideas. Number one, the inspection. Man, the inspection of... Watch what happens. Jesus sees the tree, verse 19. He saw the fig tree in the way. He came to it and found nothing on it. Okay, so he sees the tree. He comes to the tree. He inspects the tree. He wants the fruit that is on the tree, and he finds nothing on it but leaves only. But leaves only. From a distance, the tree, it had the shape. Man, from a distance, the tree, it gave the image of. From a distance, the tree gave the pretense that there was fruit on it, but it did not possess any fruit there. Man, it was projecting outwardly, but it did not possess inwardly. Man, John chapter 15 says, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Man, from every believer in the room this morning, God gives us a fruit inspection. Man, for every believer in the room this morning, God gives us a fruit inspection. He expects fruit from the tree because the tree is projecting that it has fruit on it. Every Christian, every believer ought to be fruitful. Man, Mark chapter 11, in his record of this event, he says, "And seeing the fig tree afar off, came happily to it, if happily he might find fruit." Man, he came to it expecting, man, if happily he might find, expecting to find fruit. He expected to find fruit because of what the tree was projecting. The tree said, "There's fruit here." The tree gave the image of there was fruit on it, and yet there was no fruit there. John chapter 15, verse number 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Hey, listen, God expects fruit from us as a church. God expects fruit from us corporately as a church, but God expects fruit from us individually as believers. You say, "Pastor, what's the fruit that God expects from my life?" Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 13 that our praise is fruit in our lives. Man, that with our gratitude, our praise, our thanksgiving, that the thanksgiving from our lips is fruit that is produced in our lives. Man, so as we go through our lives praising God, thanking God, grateful to God for all that He has done, all that He is doing in our life, that's fruit. That's fruit. I stood this past week with a gentleman in our congregation. We stood and in the courtroom, this gentleman pronounces to the entire courtroom. He says, "Judge, if I could just say this, I want to thank God for what He's done in my life and thank the court as well." Man, what did he do? What did that man do? He gave fruit. Man, he gave fruit. It wasn't just projecting outwardly, but possessing inwardly. He didn't have to say that. He didn't have to project that. He didn't have to possess that. But he projected that. Why? Because he possessed it inwardly. He projected it outwardly. Why? Because he possessed it inwardly. False religion always says, "Man, look good on the outside. It doesn't matter what you are on the inside." True religion says, "What you are on the inside always comes and works itself outside." And so let's be careful that we are possessing inwardly what we are projecting, what we are projecting outwardly. Man, the fruit God expects from you, from me, that meant praise. The praise of our lips, the thanksgiving of our life. Man, the fruit that God expects from us, man, the fruit is seen in our provision. Philippians chapter 4, man, it talks about the fruit of our giving. So as we are giving, as we are generous, as we understand the principle that it is more blessed to give than to receive, man, we are being fruitful. And I love Brother McCree's prayer. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We are blessed to be a blessing. Man, we are blessed so that we can be, man, it's not hoarding the fruit. "No, you don't get any of my fruit. There's all my fruit." Man, some like 500 oranges on my tree. How many of you know I couldn't eat all those oranges if I wanted to? Man, get away from my fruit. Man, we are blessed to be a blessing. Man, I'm trying to find my fake orange. There's my fake orange. All right, it got mixed in there. Man, we got some watermelon in here. Anybody want some watermelon? Man, we got a little apple here. Anybody want an apple? Man, it's projecting outwardly, but how many of you know this is going to be a disappointing apple right here? You're not going to like this apple. Man, we even have some grapes. These are like those Roman grapes that you eat, you know, like that. Lay back and somebody fans you while you eat those. Man, the fruit of our praise, man, the fruit seen in our provision. Hey, listen, Man, these are the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit should be seen. Listen, the fruit should be seen in our personality. These are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. Like this fruit ought to be, man, abounding in, coming out of. Hey, listen, we should be more joy-filled than we are grumpy. Even on Sunday morning. Even when we're hungry for lunch and the pastor is holding an orange. We should be more joy-filled than we should be more patient than we are impatient. We should be more forgiving than we are unforgiving or bitter or holding against. We should be more willing to forgive than we are holding against. Man, always having this grudge about. Man, is there the fruit of the Spirit seen in our personality? In our personality. Man, He inspects the tree. Listen, friend, He inspects you and me. He inspects the tree, but He inspects you and He inspects me. Man, are we projecting outwardly but not possessing inwardly? Are we projecting outwardly and at the same time, man, I'm going to get it in a second, possessing inwardly at the same time? Number two, the inconsistency. Man, number one, the inspection. And number two, the inconsistency. The tree did not produce what it promised. It, just by its name, think about the very name. It's a fig tree. Man, if you know it's a fig tree, and if it's growing apples, how many of you know there's a problem? If it's a fig tree and growing oranges, there's a problem. Man, by its very name, there should have been figs. By yours and by our very name, there should be fruit. Man, by the name Christian, what does that mean? It means Christ-like. Man, Christ-like in our marriages, Christ-like in our relationships, Christ-like in our work, Christ-like in the love we show, forgiveness we offer, Christ-like. Man, we are like Christ. We are Christians, little Christ, little like Jesus Christ. By our very name, there should be fruit. By our very name. Hey, are you a Christian? Where there should be fruit then in our lives. By the name that we take, there should have been fruit. Man, it promised that there was fruit, but it did not produce what it promised. Man, not just by its name, by its nature. Has anyone ever seen a fruit tree struggling to produce fruit? I mean, working hard, sweating it out. Grow fruit. No, the tree doesn't do that. It just grows fruit. It's just natural according to its own nature. Man, it grows fruit. Man, the same is true as Christians. According to our nature, if Christ lives in us, if the Spirit of God resides in us as believers, man, the fruit should just come out of our lives. Man, if He is indwelling us inwardly, man, then that should be seen outwardly. Man, by it's unnatural for a tree to not produce fruit. It's unnatural for the fig tree, for there not to be figs on the tree. Certainly there are seasons where, man, the cold comes, the winter comes, the frost hits. Certainly there are seasons, but by its name, there should have been figs on the tree. By its nature, there should have been figs. Man, by what it was projecting outwardly, but also by what it promised, by way of name, by what it promised by way of nature, what it promised by way of what it nurtured. What it promised by way of what it nurtured. The tree lacked substance. The tree lacked substance. Listen to what he says, verse number 19. And when he saw the fig tree, man, by name, by nature, man, when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it, he inspected it, he looked at it, he inspects us, he looks at us, he expects fruit in our lives as well, and found nothing thereon. It found nothing there. It lacked real substance. Man, do you remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Adam and Eve in the garden, when they sinned, man, their eyes were opened. They saw that they themselves were naked. Then their eyes were opened, and they made for themselves coverings of fig leaves. They made for themselves coverings of fig leaves, tried to cover up, tried to hide. All they were concerned about was the outward appearance, and they did not take thought of their heart. But the Bible teaches us this: from within the heart of man proceed every evil thought, every evil communication, man, adultery, lying, man, from within the heart of man. It comes from the inside and not from the outside. That's why just cleaning up your life, just going to church, just being moral, just being religious, just practicing civility, man, just being kind, that's not enough. We have to have a heart transplant. Why? Because, man, we're broken on the inside. Man, we're broken on the inside from within the heart of man. Outward conformity is not enough. Man, we need inward transformation. We need to be transformed inside, not just conformed outside. Man, it looks like a fruit outside. Shaped like an orange on the outside. Even the color of the orange on the outside, man, but it lacks no real substance. You won't be happy with this. You won't be happy with this. You're only going to be happy with this one right here. Man, by what its name was, by what its nature was, man, by what it nurtured. The infirmities of a man may be great, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Man, what's Solomon talking about when he says that verse? He's saying it's the heart of a man. If the spirit, the heart, the inward part of a man, if that is what's wounded, if that's what's broken, it doesn't matter what infirmities, man, the infirmities we can take when we know the heart is right. Isn't this what the Apostle Paul talked about? Man, I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not comparable to the life that is to come. Whatever I endure here, man, it's a few bad things, a few mean words, a few names called, maybe even as some of our brothers and sisters in the world, maybe even suffering real physical persecution. But when I reckon the things of this world compared to eternity, man, this life, it has nothing compared to that. And what does that mean? It means we're men and women of substance, believers of substance, not just projecting outwardly, but possessing inwardly. Man, Paul would say that, right? Paul would say that, man, for I reckon that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Man, whether I live, whether I die, man, I live to the Lord, I die to the Lord. I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's. What is that? Men and women of substance. Something to them so that when the pressure comes, man, when the squeeze gets, I thought I could squeeze that a little bit easier, that the illustration is not the same. It's a hard plastic to squeeze. Man, when the squeeze, I got to use two hands. When the squeeze is on, man, we're seen for what we really are. Man, but when the squeeze gets put on, how many of you know good squeeze, fresh squeezed orange juice? Man, when the squeeze gets put on, men and women of substance, listen, when the squeeze gets put on, it only reveals what's inside. When times are difficult, when suffering, things aren't going my way, man, she's mad at me because she made me do that. No, that only revealed what was already there. That only revealed what was already there. So when I respond with anger, when I respond, man, with abusiveness, when I respond with bitterness, it only shows what's already inside. It's only a revelation of what the substance is already made of. Man, by its name, man, by its nature, by what it nurtured. Last one, all right, last one. Last one. Man, it's isolation. It's isolation. Man, it is inspected. It is inconsistent. Man, that fig tree, last one, it is in isolation. He saw a fig tree, singular, all by itself. It doesn't say a row of fig trees. In fact, Mark's gospel, it says he saw the fig tree afar off, as if the fig tree were standing all alone. It was not in the row with the other fig trees. It was all by itself. Now remember, man, he went to Bethany, went to Bethphage, and now on his way back into Jerusalem, Bethphage, that city is called the house of figs. The house of figs, plural. There are lots of fig trees. In fact, man, biologically, scientifically, it's actually impossible for this tree to grow figs all by itself, because it would need cross-pollination or it cannot have fruit. If it's all by itself, if there's no cross-pollination with the other trees, then there will be no fruit. Man, that reminds me, John chapter 15, abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Abide in me, and I in you. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Man, it's in isolation in two ways. It's in isolation. First, our lives end up in isolation. Two ways. First, man, apart from Christ. Apart from Christ, we can have no fruit. Apart from Christ, we can have no healing. Apart from Christ, we can have no substance. Apart from Christ, our lives are empty. Apart from Christ, man, only projecting outward, not possessing inward. Apart from Christ. Man, it's amazing to me how much time we spend getting ourselves ready outwardly. It's amazing to me how much time we spend getting ourselves ready on the outward, on the outside, but never taking time on the inside, never taking time to get ourselves ready inwardly. Man, apart from Christ, no fruit. Apart from Christ, no substance. Apart from Christ, no life. Number two. Man, the inspection, number one, the inconsistency, number two, the isolation, man, isolated, apart from Christ, isolated, apart from the church. Just like I need interaction with the Lord, I need interaction with the people of the Lord. I mean, just like we need interaction with God, man, abiding in Christ, just like we need interaction with Him every day, man, we need interaction with the people of the Lord. We need good, godly friends. We need good, godly encouragement. We need good, godly people in our lives, spiritual people, mature people in our lives, speaking life into us, speaking life for us. The church, Paul says, is the pillar and the ground of truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Two things. It's the pillar of truth. Man, it's stable. It provides stability for. It's proclaiming, it's professing truth. This is what happens at church. We open God's word. We learn God's truth. What Dave says is not important. What the pastor says is not important. What's important is what does God in His Word say? We don't gather this morning to hear what I have to say, to hear what my take is. We gather this morning to hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed. That's the pillar we need. That's the stabilizing factor in our lives. Man, it's a pillar. We open God's Word. As a church, we open God's Word to learn. Man, it's the pillar. It's the ground. It's the pillar of truth. Number two, it's the ground of truth. Man, that's the foundation of. Man, that's what we stand on. This helps us to know how to possess the truth. Man, there's the proclaiming of the truth, that pillar, that stabilizing factor, opening God's word to learn. Man, there's that ground of truth, that foundation of truth. Man, speaking God's word into our hearts and individual lives so that we know how to possess. Man, by the way, that's why every person in this room ought to be in a connection group. We ought to be in connection group. Why? Man, that's the speaking of God's truth into our individual lives, into our individual relationships. If all of God's word that we get is 45 minutes on Sunday morning, that's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough. Man, we need the word of God speaking into our individual life stage, into our individual life age, sitting with other believers in the church, sitting with other members, spiritual members in the church, doing life, going through life together. Man, we come together at that environment, opening our lives so that we can know how to love. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, what's going to happen when you're gone? We're afraid of what's going to happen when you're gone. And Jesus says two things are important for you to do. Love God and love others. These two things hang all of the law and the prophets. Your love for God, your love for others. Man, that's what the Bible is giving us a picture of. And when we are that fig tree in isolation, this is what our lives look like. When we are that fig tree in isolation, man, it's plastic, no substance. Man, I don't know about you, but how many of you want to be, man, a person of substance, right? Me too. I almost said, how many of you want to be an orange? I didn't feel like that was like the appropriate application at that point. But I want to be an orange of substance. What'd you learn at church today? I learned how to be an orange, right? Man, a man and a woman of substance. Don't you? That's what I want. But that cannot happen apart from Christ, and that will not happen apart from the people that God has put in our lives. It's a good thing for God's people to dwell together in unity, in peace, in fellowship, in harmony, in relationship, speaking life into life. Man, there are times in my life where I need somebody to come along and pat me on the back and say, Pastor, thumbs up. Now, I prayed for you today. There are times in my life when I need that. There are times in your life when you need somebody to come along, pat you on the back and say, hey, thumbs up, I prayed for you today. Man, there are times when all of us need that, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Man, so much the more as we know our time is short. Our time's up today. Let's stand together for prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you.